Hey, listen, I want to say thank you to all of you who have made your way here today. I know you probably got in the car and you got out and you got to driving and then you went, oh no, what have I just done? So thank you. Those of you who are online, thank you for being a part with us today. As I was driving in, as I'm running down the interstate, not very fast at all, all of a sudden, everything starts freezing, and I'm going, uh-oh. You know, that when your windshield wipers just kind of start skating, I'm trying to turn on the defrost as high as I can get it to make something go down. So I appreciate you guys being here. Listen, we are continuing on in our series in Revelation. So if you've got your Bibles, open up. I don't know what you're doing for, well, yeah, I do. I know what you're doing for Valentine's Day. You're probably sitting at home with all the, everything going on, all right? Tonight, you have the opportunity to watch some romantic movies. There's going to be, you know, I'm sure television, Netflix, Hulu, all those. There's all kinds of rom-coms, all kind of things you can watch, men, for your wives. Wives, listen, let me tell you, two of my most favorite movies are of all time. Really high on my list. I love Braveheart and Gladiator. Listen, if Amy wants to like, I mean, it's Braveheart and Gladiator. Now, listen, they're not necessarily what you would think of as Valentine movies, but I think you can make a case for it being romantic, personally. I mean, listen, all throughout there, I mean, both of these guys, they're fighting for their family. They're fighting for their country. They're fighting for ideals. They're fighting for big, big things. Do you remember William Wallace in Braveheart, where, I mean, listen, valiantly fighting for the freedom of Scotland. I mean, he is like, you are there, good, I'm making sure. I mean, he is fighting for, he's fighting for the freedom. I mean, do you remember when they laid him up on the table? And I mean, he died valiantly, even in the midst of them disemboweling him. All right, you can ask your parents about what that means later on. All right, do you remember in Gladiator, Maximus fighting to the death? I mean, fighting to the death in the Colosseum for his family and for the glory of Rome. Listen, what's romantic about these two stories, to be real honest with you, is that they were willing to live and die for something that was way beyond themselves, way beyond that. Most of us, when we think of those types of things, we're thinking of our family. And they did fight for their family, but they fought for something even bigger than that. They fought for, do you remember both of them talking about, we're fighting for an ideal. We're fighting for something that is larger than us. Well, today in our series, The Reigning King in Revelation, we're going to look at literally people who have fought and died, who lived and died for something bigger than themselves. We're going to talk about the martyrs. We're going to Revelation chapter 6. So if you will, open up your Bibles to Revelation 6. We're going to look at only three verses today, verses 9, 10, and 11. Last week in Revelation 6, 1 through 8, Jesus opened the first four seals, and if you'll remember, when he did that, he released the four horsemen of the apocalypse, and in doing that, they were given the ability for war between nations, to war between discord between person to person. They removed peace from the land. There was famine, there was pestilence, there was violence, and I think that those four horsemen are a symbol, really, of the tribulation to happen that has even been happening, that will continue to happen, that will continue to increase until the day Christ returns. You remember in Matthew we talked about this in 24, where Jesus is speaking and he talks about, you're going to hear rumors of war, there's going to be famine and pestilence and violence. He says, listen, don't worry, these are all birth pains. And what happens in pregnancy, ladies, the birth pains get stronger and stronger and more intense and more intense. And you don't necessarily know what the last contraction is going to be before new life happens. I think that's what you see here in 6, 1 through 8. Well, today, as we make a little turn, what those first four seals dealt with everything on earth. Now we're going to see the fifth seal, and it takes us back to heaven. And we're going to begin seeing and talking about the martyrs who would not compromise, who would not lay down, who would not back down in the face of everything that was going on in that day. And remember, in apocalyptic literature, there's a lot of symbolism. There were things that were written for that day, and there were things that were written for the coming day. And so today, I believe that we are in those last days, those coming days. And what was very real to them is even intensifying for us today. So with that, let's start reading Revelation chapter 6. I'm going to read 9, 10, and 11, and then we're going to kind of walk through, because 9, 10, and 11, these four or three verses, I think give us four pointers. They're pointing us to four things about the martyrs that we're going to be able to look at, and I'm not going to give them to you like I normally do. I'm going to let you walk with me through them, all right? Let's start reading. Verse 9 says, when he opened the fifth seal. Remember, that is Jesus. That was the Lamb. That was behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the earth. You see this. He says, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they had borne. They cried out with a loud voice, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on earth. Verse 11, then they were each given a white robe and told to rest a little longer until the number of their, notice this, until the number of their fellow servants and their brothers should be complete, who were to be killed as they themselves had been. All right, the first pointer that I want you to write down, thumb and notes. If you're a guest here today, welcome. Thank you for being here. In the seat back right in front of you, there's a little card. It's called a Connect card. I'd love for you to fill it out. Bring it back to me at the end of the service. I just want to meet you. I want to send you an email, all right? If you don't have something to write with, on the back of it, don't tell anybody else. It's blank. You can take some good notes over there, all right? Or you can thumb some things in your tablet or something. Here's the very first pointer. The very first pointer I think this lets us see is this, is that we should be encouraged by the martyrs. Now, the word martyr means this. Martyr in Greek literally means witness. It means the witness. So we should be encouraged. So when we talk about martyrs, we're talking about witnesses, all right? And so we should be encouraged by the martyrs. The Bible records the death of the witnesses, the martyrs, as a way to encourage us and those of the day that they could stand strong in the middle of the persecution that you're walking in. They were willing to be able, they stood strong in the face of what it is that they were walking through. And I want you to see that every disciple except for John, the one who wrote this, the Apostle John, every disciple except for John, they were killed. They were martyred for their faith. Not because they necessarily wouldn't bow down and deny Jesus, but because they wouldn't be quiet about Jesus. They continued to talk about him. They talked about him everywhere. Do you remember Peter when he was at the temple and the Pharisees brought him out? They said, listen, you got to be quiet. He said, listen, you can do whatever you want, but I will not stop talking about Jesus. You see, listen, all of them died except for John. John died of a ripe old age, but it wasn't before he was dipped in a pot of boiling oil to try to make him shut up. It wasn't before he was sent off to an island called Patmos where he wrote this book. In fact, Hebrews chapter 11, I want you to write that down, go back and see it later on. Hebrews chapter 11 is called the Great Hall of Faith because in there you see all of the faithful Old Testament saints who stood in the face when they were called to denounce, when they were called to walk away. Noah, you have Abel, you've got Enoch, you've got Abraham and Jacob and Sarah and Rahab. All of them stood strong. But I want you to hear this. Not all of them are recorded. There were many more than just what we have. Look at what Hebrews chapter 11, verses 38 and 35 through 38 say this. I want you to see this on the screen. It'll be up there also. Hebrews 11, 35 through 38 says, some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Listen, rather than give in, they were willing to die so that they would have a better life, it says. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. Sawn in two. We don't use that word a lot. That's like with a saw, all right? So they were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated. Notice how it describes them. Of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and in caves and on the earth. Listen, just like in the Old Testament, you had the faith of those that were written about in 11, the same thing was happening in the first century also. As we've talked about the context here, people who were not bowing down to emperor worship, bowing down to Caesar to follow after him, listen, they were in the same situations. You've heard me talk about John being dipped in hot oil. He wasn't the only one who was done like that. There were believers who were dipped in tar and put on poles to light parkways and walkways if they would not renounce Jesus Christ. You heard in Hebrews 11, literally people were taken, believers who would not bow the knee to the emperor, who would not renounce Jesus Christ. They would be taken and they would be wrapped in sheep's clothing, goat's skins, and thrown to wild animals to be torn apart, to be eaten. This is what was standing in the way. This is what was happening. People's heads were being chopped off because they would not renounce Jesus Christ. They wouldn't stop talking about Jesus. They wouldn't lay down. They wouldn't shrink back. They would proclaim Jesus. And I want to take a little interlude here and say this. This is why it's so important. You hear me say all the time, you have to be sure as a follower of Christ that this is the word of God and you stand on it, because there's going to be a day in the very near future where you're going to have to make a decision. Is this true or not? And some of you right now are thinking, you got to be kidding me. No. Today, some of your businesses are going to be at stake over whether or not this is true. Some of you, your licensures, some of you, your clients, do you believe this or not? And it's going to cost us. And we have to settle the fact of, do we believe this? Listen, I want you to know, we should be encouraged by the martyrs of the Old Testament, those who stood strong to say, yes, listen, I believe. And I'm going to stand on the word of God. And if you settle that ahead of time, it makes it so much easier in that day to stand. And when I say it makes it easier, listen, it's still going to be difficult. But you've already made up your mind. How many times do we tell our kids, we've got to determine strong that we are? You see, the vision of the multitude of the martyrs who died horrendous death, they face things that we don't ever face, that we haven't had to face in our world and in our day right here in the U.S. But I want you to know, this should give us encouragement. Why? Here's a couple of ways that I wanted to encourage you. The first one is this. It reveals not just what happens with the martyrs, but with all of us who believe in Christ. That should encourage us. Listen, it should help us to see. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, you remember what he said? He said, today you will be with me in paradise. Do you remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5? He said, listen, to be absent from the body is to be where? Present with the Lord. You're going to be in his presence. You're going to be with him. Listen, when we die, we don't just go to the ground, to the dirt, or to the urn of ashes. Our body may, but our soul, the scripture tells us, is that we're with Jesus immediately. And we're cognizant of what's going on. Now, there will be a day when our body... Now, won't that be wild when that urn shakes and that body joins the soul? But the scripture says that we are with him when we die. If we believe in Jesus Christ, if we've surrendered our life, the scripture tells us that we're going to be with him. And this should change everything for us. That this body that we live in today, it's decaying and it's dying. It's dying. It's going to die. I don't know when, but it's going to die. But when it dies, my soul will be with Jesus Christ, the one who I've submitted my life to. That should encourage us by seeing that even those who died their death, who because of their witness, their life was taken, they're before God today. They're with him. That should bring us encouragement. Here's the second pointer that this chapter, this thing brings to us, or this verse. I'm gonna hold on a second. Here's something else that it shows us. In the passage here, look with me over here in the passage. It says they were told in verse 11. In verse 11, it says that they were given a white robe and told to rest a little longer. These martyrs were given a white robe. The reason they were given a white robe, for a couple of reasons. Number one is this, is that in the Roman world, whenever a Roman emperor had won a battle, there would be a triumphal parade. You know what he wore? White. He wore a white robe to show he had conquered. How did Jesus Christ conquer death? By his death. By his death, he conquered. How is it that these martyrs have conquered? By their death. By their death. Their death testified to the fact that their lives were lived for an audience of one. It was part of their reward that they were given. It was a part of their reward. Revelation chapter 7, verse 14, that we're going to get to in 2 weeks. We'll be in Revelation 7 in 2 weeks. Revelation 7, 14 says this. I said to him, John, to him, who these people said to him, sir, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation, the tribulation described that we just have reading or that we've just read about in 6:1-8. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Do you catch that? How did their robes become white? By the blood of the Lamb. If you're a mom, you know how difficult it is when your son comes in and somehow he's cut himself. It's on that white shirt. How do you get that thing out? The scripture says right here that they had white robes, and the reason they were white is because they had been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Folks, I want you to hear this today. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter the sin stain in your life. It doesn't matter where you have been. If we come to Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter how bad you've been. If we come to Jesus Christ and we accept his gift, his death on the cross by his blood spilled, slain for us, and we are, in the words of 7:14, washed in his blood, we too will conquer. We conquer. Why? Not because, I want you to hear this, not because of anything that we've done. We conquer because of what he's done. It's his death on the cross. We're just called to be obedient, to stand strong, to proclaim the witness. This should encourage us. This should encourage us. Listen, I want to be really clear here. And you're going to hear me say this over and over. I'm not calling you to lose your head today. I'm calling you to give your heart today. I want you to hear that. What I'm calling you to is not to go and die for him. I'm calling you to live for him today. And if in your living it causes us to die, then so be it. Okay? Some of you may be freaking out going, oh my gosh, we're talking about martyrs. Listen, I want to tell you to be witnesses. I want you to be witnesses. And if your witness leads to your death, so be it. Because there is one who has given his life to you, given his life for you. The second thing, the second pointer. First, we should be encouraged by the martyrs. Number two, we should pray for the martyrs. We should pray for them. Verse 9, notice in verse 9 what they're doing. It says the martyrs are under the altar. There were two altars in the Old Testament temple. One of them is where the sacrifice happened. The sacrifice for sin. And the scripture tells us that around that, where they sacrificed the animals, it was a bloody mess, just to be real honest with you. And I believe the symbolism here of the martyrs under the altar is it's a symbol that their blood was shed for Jesus Christ. They stood strong for their witness. The second altar that was there was the altar of incense. And it stood, the altar of incense was right before the veil going into the Holy of Holies, the place that only could be entered once a year. And in there, we've talked about this in the last couple of weeks. That incense, in fact, you may have read about it this week in your Bible reading in Exodus. It talked about the making of the incense and the altar and how that incense was to burn continually, perpetually, to be a representative of the prayers that would go up to God. Notice here, it says that these martyrs who are under the altar, which altar? I think it symbolizes both, the shed of the blood, their prayers going up, because it says that they're crying out to God. What do we do when we pray? We're calling out to God. We're crying out to him. We're bringing our request. Then notice the request that they bring in verse 10. In verse 10, the martyrs cry out and they say, "Oh Lord, how long before you avenge our blood? How long before you avenge our blood?" Now I want to be really careful here and I want you to hear this. Listen, they're not seeking revenge. They're seeking justice. They're seeking justice. They're asking God, "God, listen, we were sacrificed. We were killed for our witness. How long before you avenge your name?" Notice that he said there in verse 10, it says, "O sovereign Lord, holy and true, holy and true." Listen, only one who is completely 100% holy, completely 100% true is able to avenge. We're not called to seek revenge. You know what we're called to do? We're called to pray for our enemies. We're called to pray for their salvation. We're called to ask the Lord, "Lord, will you do what only you can do? Lord, will you take care of this situation?" What did Jesus tell Peter in the garden when they came to arrest him? And Peter took that sword. He said, "Put your sword away." He said, "Put your sword away. I'll handle this. I'll handle this." This is what we're called. And so listen, I want you to hear me. If they're praying and asking the Lord, "Lord, when are you going to make your name known? When will you avenge people, those on earth? When are you going to do that?" We should also be crying that out. "Lord, when are you coming? God, when are you going to avenge your name?" Not seek revenge for what's happened to me, but God, you're holy, you're just. We want the world to see. We want the world to know. So God, we're praying and we're asking, "Bring your kingdom. Maranatha, come, Lord, quickly. Come quickly." You know, in the U.S., we are so isolated and insular. I mean, the great thing is that we have a great military that protects us. The Lord has been great to us in those ways. But I want you to know that around the world, our brothers and our sisters are dying for the name of Jesus Christ, and we don't even know it. We have no idea what's happening. I told you this a couple of weeks ago, and I'm asking you to please go look this up. There's an organization called Voice of the Martyrs. Voice of the Martyrs. If you've not found Voice of the Martyrs, I'm asking you. If you go, "I don't like to read," do you like to listen? They have a podcast, all right? Voice of the Martyrs. There's another organization called Open Doors. Open Doors. It's all about the persecuted church. There's another organization called World Monitor Watch. It lists the 50 places in the world, countries in the world, that are the worst for being a Christian, for the persecution. I'm asking you to go, because we live here in the United States and we think everything revolves around us. I want you to know it doesn't. All right? It doesn't. The Lord has work going on in the other world, in other parts of the world, and I want you to hear, there are people dying today for the name of Jesus Christ while we sit here. And we know nothing of it. We don't see it. We should be praying for our brothers and our sisters. We should be praying, "God, Lord, when will you come and avenge your name, God? When will you do that? God, people are trampling your name. Listen, we should be standing for justice. We should be standing up for those things. Do you know that across our country, there are things happening in our country today where people are being persecuted and reviled for their faith, and we hear nothing of it. I'll tell you a little bit more about that in just a little bit. But I want you to hear this. The day is coming. I'm not a prophet, nor am I the son of a prophet, but I'm going to call out as one. There is a day coming that is going to cost you for your faith in this country. And you may be thinking today, I don't understand that. I don't understand all of it, but here's what I know is that if I don't believe this word and understand this word and know that I stand for it and where God lines up, I'm going to line up. With where his word lines up, I'm going to line up. And I want you to hear this. It's going to cost us if we don't. Boy, that's a feel-good message, isn't it? Don't turn me off online. Keep stay with us, all right? You don't get to walk out. I don't want you to walk out. What I want you to do is I want you to wake up. I want you to wake up. I want you to see. I want you to see that we can be encouraged by the martyrs, those who stood strong. We should be praying for those. We should be praying for them. You know, in the Psalms, there is a whole group of Psalms that are called imprecatory Psalms, where David is calling down fire. And we're going, what do we do with that? You know what he's doing? He's asking for God's name to be avenged. God, will you, in your righteousness and in your holiness, will you take care of them because they do not honor you? Do you know we can pray for that? We can pray those same things. We can pray those, just like the martyrs are doing here. God, when are you going to avenge our blood? Not for my sake, but for your sake, God, because you are just, you are holy, you are righteous. Like God said in Amos, we should be praying that justice would roll down. We should be people who seek after those things because God desires it. Here's the third pointer, quickly. The third pointer is this. Not only should we be encouraged by the martyrs, not only should we be praying for them, but we should honor the martyrs. We should honor them. Look at what it says in verse 11. Verse 11, God says to the martyrs, the martyrs are told to rest. Listen to this. They're told to rest until the full number of their brothers who would be killed is complete. And you know what that tells us? That there is a number that has been predetermined, that there are going to be a number of people who are going to die for their faith. That should be sobering to us. That should be sobering. That there are people who are going to literally die for their faith. And until that number has been completed, this work goes on. And you know what that means? That we have a job to do. We have a work to continue on. We have a stand to make. We have a Bible to read and to understand. So that we might be able, if the Lord were to call us to this, that we would stand strong with them and be counted among their number if need be. Hear this. I want to be clear again. I'm not calling you to die. I'm calling you to live. To live a life that is faithful. And if we don't know what the word says about this, you know what we'll end up doing? We'll end up turning a deaf ear. We'll end up in our day of trial walking away. Putting our head down. And you know what the scripture tells us? Jesus said, those who aren't ashamed of me, I won't be ashamed of them before my Father who is in heaven. That is a sobering word to us. That is a sobering word to me. I pray that in that day, I might stand strong. And I think anyone who boastfully stands and says, I'll do it, they don't know what they're asking. I think God gives us a special dispensation of power in those moments to remain strong. But I can tell you this, if you've not been walking strong and by faith with him here and here and here and here in those little days, you won't stand strong in that day. Missiologists and those who study mission and the persecuted church tell us this. They tell us that the 20th century was the most bloody century for Christians, more so than all of the 19 previous centuries combined. The 20th century was there were more martyrs that happened in the 20th century for the name of Jesus Christ than the previous 19 centuries combined. 19 centuries combined. These same people tell us that in the last 10 years, 100,000 followers of Jesus Christ have died for their faith. 100 in the last 10,000 years. These same people tell us that on average, every 5 minutes, a Christian is martyred for their faith. every 5 minutes somewhere in the world. Matthew 24:9 says this, Jesus is speaking. And I'm gonna encourage you, you go back and you read through Matthew 24 as we're reading. Notice what he says. He says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. James Boyce, the first president of the Southern Baptist Convention or Southern Baptist Seminary, said this. He said, it's not surprising that so many Christians have been killed for their faith. What's surprising is that so many haven't. I want that to sit for just a moment. Listen, what are the markers? What are the pointers in this passage? One, that we need to remember these martyrs, these witnesses. We need to pray for these martyrs, these witnesses. Listen, we should be praying for those today who are around the world that they will remain strong in these countries, that they will remain strong. We should honor them. But fourthly, we should follow the example of the martyrs. We should follow their example. Muslim extremism teaches this, that if you die a martyr's death, you go directly to heaven. And your reward is access, you personally, to 70 virgins. Now listen, the only way, the only sure fire, the only assurance that a Muslim has that they will one day go to heaven. The only assurance is that if they die a martyr's death. That's why it's not hard to get people to sign up for suicide bombers. Because that is the only way. And their reward is 70 virgins. Listen, there have even been Christians throughout history who have said and thought that if I lay my life down for Jesus Christ, that if I die for his name, back in the Crusades during those days, that if I die for his name, then that's a sure ticket for heaven. Listen, I want you to hear this. That is not true. It's not that you die for Jesus, it's that you live for him. It's that you live for him. And if your life leads to death, then so be it. What I'm calling you here today to do is to live for Jesus Christ. I'm not asking you to follow how they died. I'm asking you to follow how they lived. They lived a life. They lived a life that to the very end, you know, when the scripture says to those who persevered to the end, they persevered to the end. They had no idea when that last day, they had no idea when that birth pang, that last contraction was going to be, but they stood strong at that moment and they lived a life that was worthy to be counted among the faithful. And you know what I'm calling us to? I want to be clear. I'm not calling you to die. I'm calling you to live today for Jesus Christ. I'm calling you today to live for him, a life of faith. For some of us, that might mean one day that we might die alone for his name's sake. That's why we do not hesitate to call you to live sin, to go to the nations, to go somewhere where your life would count. And the cost would be high because I want you to go. There are people who are in another world today, another country, who have no faithful witness. And I'm calling some of you to go there. But I'm also calling you to stay here, those of you to stay, and to live a life that's worthy. And it may not cause you to die alone, but it may cause you to stand alone. It may mean that you lose business. It may mean that you lose family. It may mean that your job is taken away. And some of you today, you're going, I don't know. Seriously? Yes, seriously. Seriously. Because this word right here is under attack. And if we stand on this, this is going to cost us. And some of us, we're afraid that we're going to lose our job. We're going to lose a little status. And I want you to hear this. If we can't stand against those things, we won't stand in that day. And this is why I'm calling us today to live lives that are faithful to the word of God, to live faithful to the word of God. Listen, there's been a countdown running on this screen since we started this service. And by the end of this service, if what we are told is correct, and I believe that it is because of the things that I read and see, names and people and faces, that there'll be 15 people who die today before this service is over for the name of Jesus Christ somewhere around the world. And yet we, by the grace of God, would you hear that? By the grace of God, we get to sit here today and worship freely. There's no one waiting when we go about these doors to take our life. Why can't we go and stand for him? Why can't we stand for him? December the 2nd in 2014, in Baghdad, the vicar of Baghdad, his name is Andrew White, tells the story of four Christian young men who were 15 years old. It had become known that they were followers of Yeshua. They were followers of Jesus. ISIS came to town, literally came to town, called them to renounce and to begin to follow and bow their knee to Muhammad. And they refused. No, we will not do that. Jesus has always been my Savior. He's always been good to me. He's always been faithful. I will not follow Muhammad. They left. ISIS left. When ISIS returned, they came with much larger militia and said, "You are to call on the name." And they said, "We can never. He's never forsaken me. We can never forsake him." They marched them out of town, drove them out in cages, put them on their knees, stood behind them, videoed their execution. October 1, 2015, Umpqua Community College, Oregon. A 26-year-old student goes in, takes over the school, begins to call out people into the hallway, and begins to separate them by their religion. If you're a Christian, he called out, he shot them in the head immediately because he said, "You're going to see Jesus immediately." Killed them immediately. If you weren't a believer, he shot them in the knee. We didn't hear all of that about the segmentation. What we heard about was, he's a crazy man. We need to take those guns away. And I want to say this. He is a crazy man. Anyone that goes into a college and begins to do that. But I want you to hear, it's not just over there. It's here too. And these, they stood when they had the chance to be quiet. And they said, "No, I follow Christ." I want you to personalize this for a moment. There's a picture that I want you to see that's going to come onto the screen here. This young man's name is Sharun. Sharun Masi. Sharun was 16 years old. I say was because he died 4 days after going to a brand new school. Sharun was a very smart young man. He went to a new school in the Punjab district of Pakistan. His teachers, his Christian teachers, urged his father, "He's way too smart. Don't send him to the brick kiln with you to work. Send him on." The father saved his money, bought everything he needed, sent him to school. He was there 4 days. In those 4 days, he would come home at night. And his mom says, they would cry over the taunting and the torture in those 4 days that he received. The other Muslim kids said to him, "If you want to live, you Christian, don't get near us." Day four, his last day, he didn't know that those birth pangs of new life would be that day. He went to school, and as he was walking up the aisle to go to the front of the class, one young man stuck his foot out, tripped him, and began to beat him mercilessly. others begin to join in and begin to kick him and kick him in his stomach, in his head. The authorities say he died almost instantaneously. It was more than he could bear. Do you know they found the person who started all of that, who was held responsible. Held responsible, I mean, they had to pay a fine and then ship them on. No administrator, no school attendant, no teacher was ever around. They all left as it began. Through the voice of the martyrs, you could read these. His mom was quoted by the authorities as saying this, that Sharun and I cried as he described the daily torture he was subjected to. The evil boys hated my child, and now they're refusing to reveal who else was involved in his murder. Nevertheless, one day, God will have his judgment. Sharun, I believe, is one of those martyrs who's crying out, Lord, how long before you avenge? And I want you to hear this. Sharun lived for Christ to the very end. Sharun knew that his life had been changed. His world is different. He would not be the same. You see, here in the United States, and I love my country, so don't hear me any differently. But you know what? Here, it cost us virtually nothing to follow Jesus Christ. You see, in other places of the world, when they come to Christ, they've counted a cost. Does that sound familiar? Count the cost. And they know that when they come to Christ, this will cost them everything. Folks, you know what I'm calling you to today? I'm calling you to live like Sharun, who, even in the face of it, walked on. I'm calling you to stand strong where the Lord has placed you. I'm calling you to know his word. I'm calling you to look at the times and go, God, one day it's going to cost me strong. And God, I want to be strong in your name. In the show Braveheart, we love the scene where he lays on that altar and they begin to rip. We love that. Freedom! That is cool. But if you back that up a little bit, there's a scene where he's in his jail cell and he's praying, he's crying, and he says, Lord, please let me. I'm so scared. Let me be found faithful. The greatest act of sacrifice for you and me was Jesus Christ, who laid his life down. But on the night before he died, the next morning, he's in a garden saying, Father, if there's any way, let this cup pass. Nevertheless, it's not my will, it's yours. What does that mean? Listen, we all think that we have to know all these great truths to defend our faith. Do you know what it's going to come down to? Jesus is Lord. I want you to hear me. I want you to hear me. It's not, can I prove scientifically? It's not physiological. It's not the planets aligning. It's, I follow Jesus. It's his word is true. It's going to come down to things like, he made us male and female. It's going to come down to marriage is between a man and a woman, one man and one woman. Folks, do we believe that Jesus is the way? If we do, then we better be prepared to stand. That's what it looks like here in Murfreesboro. I'm calling you today. Will you live for Jesus Christ? No matter what it costs you, your job, your family, some status, I want you to hear this. He's given you a whole new status. He's given you a whole new family. He's got tons of jobs. Your father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He can move economies. You're saying to me right now, you don't know what this is going to cost me. I don't. But here's what I know. He is faithful. He's trustworthy. The martyrs, they prove that to us. Will we be faithful in our day in this generation? Father, we love you. We honor you. And God, I'm asking you today, would you save people? God, there is someone who's watching online right now. There are someone in this room. They need your son, Jesus. So I'm asking you, God, would you call them to yourself? Would you open their eyes? Father, I'm asking for us in here who surrendered our lives to you. We trust you, Jesus, as our Savior. I'm asking that in our day of trial, in our day of tribulation, that we might stand strong. Help us to prepare by knowing your word, by praying, by loosening our grip on our money, our family, our time, by loosening our grip on our possessions, that you alone are the greatest thing ever. And my life is nothing compared to what I am going to receive and gain because of Jesus. I love you. I'm thankful for this body. Thank you that you've put us in community together to walk with one another, to stand strong with one another. And it's in the name of Jesus I ask these things today. Amen. Today, you hear us say all the time, when the word is preached, we have to respond. And today, how we respond is through prayer. We respond through our singing. We respond through giving of our tithes and offerings. I'm going to be out at the back. If you want to talk to me, if you want to talk to CJ, we'll be there. Kurt, we want to pray with you. Please, listen, I want to say this. Be safe on your way home, but don't leave quickly. Don't run out on what it is that God wants to do in your life today. Graham, congratulations on being baptized today, brother. Greatest thing that's happened, brother.